Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, as we come to the time of your study of your word and learning together, growing together, I pray you would bless this time. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing unto you, O God. I pray for each one who's here that you would give them understanding minds, that you would give us attentive ears, O God, that you would give us responsive lips, that we would praise and glorify you. I pray that your words would be planted on fertile soil upon our hearts, that we might produce good fruit for the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Last week I began a series which I've entitled, You Shall Receive Power. And this is from the words of Yeshua, where he spoke to his Talmidim, his disciples, and told them that when the Ruach HaKodesh, when the Spirit of God would come upon them, that they would receive the power, they would receive the anointing, that they would be able to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. And I'm continuing on that today, and I'm not sure that the last week's message got on the website yet. I didn't see it yesterday. It's on there this morning? Okay. So anyway, we should have last week's message on our website, and you can listen to that if you weren't not here last week. And this one will also be on, all our messages are on the website. Let me start with a little story from Dwight Moody. And one time, Dwight Moody was speaking to a large audience. And he held up a glass in his hand, and he asked, "How can I get all the air out of this glass? How?" Well, one man shouted, "Well, suck it out with a pump." But then Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum, and that vacuum would then shatter the glass." And other people, you know, shouted out what they thought, you know, to do to get all the air out of that glass. And after numerous other suggestions, Moody just smiled, and he picked up a pitcher of water, and he poured the pitcher of water into this glass and filled it. And he said, "There, see? All the air is now removed. No more air in the glass." He then went on to explain that victory in the believer's life is not accomplished by sucking out sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's how we're going to get changed and transformed lives and get freed from the sin areas in our life, not by trying to suck out all the air with a vacuum, but by pouring us and filling us with the Holy Spirit. And that will help to suck out all or remove all the sin in our life. So again, last week I began that series on You Shall Receive Power. And it's my prayer and it's my hope that through this series of messages that all of us will grow in the fullness of the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Hebrew for the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And that we would be able to operate in the Lord's power and authority, that we might live victorious lives. Now, is there anyone in here who wants to live a victorious life? Anyone? Okay. Is there anyone in here who wants to live a defeated life? Nobody wants to live a defeated life? Okay, then my prayer is that this series will help you in that area. And summarizing where we left off, we saw that, number one, the change that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, makes in our life. We talked about the change that takes place. We talked about, well, who is this Ruach HaKodesh? Who is this Holy Spirit? Thirdly, why did the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, come? For what reason? What purpose? Four, how is the Ruach HaKodesh related to each one of us as believers? And five, the six things that happen at the time of our spiritual birthing. And finally, we understood that receiving the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is a positional relationship and may or may not be accomplished by an emotional experience. Now, some of us have had emotional experiences where we have spoken in tongues or we just, you know, we're all excited and ecstatic and all that. Sometimes it's just an inward peace and a joy that takes place knowing that the presence of God is in you. So continuing today, it's clear that every believer must be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh in order to have the power to be more effective in witness for the Messiah. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't say, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to walk with power, to live a victorious life, to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. And every biblical reference to the filling with or of the Holy Spirit in both the first covenant of the Scripture and in the second covenant is related to power for service. You're being empowered for some service to God or to be a witness for the kingdom of God. And the response to the filling of the Ruach HaKodesh may vary in people different ways. Some of us, as I mentioned, may just have a calm assurance of something that took place in your life, of power and a quiet realization of a greater faith in the Messiah, Yeshua, and the promises of His Word, to even a more emotional experience that some people can have. And as we look at it, as we study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that all believers are members of the body of Messiah. We're all of us are part of, members of. And as various parts of our body have different functions, you know, our foot has a function and our hand has a function. I mean, it's a hand can't do what the foot can do and the foot can't do what the hand can do. We have, each one has its own function. Your body parts have various functions and importance. So the members of the body of the Messiah all have different giftings and different responsibilities in the kingdom of God. Like Bob is gifted as a worship leader. God has anointed his voice. Some of us may sound like a vulture when we sing because that's not our giftings. I mean, you can make a joyful noise, but that's not your gifting. But there's areas where maybe you can do things that Bob can't do, or I can do things, or you know, it all varies. But all of us working together, we accomplish what God wants to take place in the body of Messiah. No believer should belittle someone else for not having a certain gift, or for having a certain gift. There shouldn't be any trying to imitate one another in someone else's experience or someone else's feeling or in someone else's giftings. God has something special for every one of you. And that's why we should be always asking, Lord, what is the gifting that you have in my life? How do you want to use me for the kingdom of God? How can I be more effective, Lord, for your kingdom and witness and touch people's lives and bless people? That's what we should be praying so that we could help one another and bless the kingdom of God. And every believer must leave that assignment of gifts, whatever it is, and a manner in which they're revealed to the Spirit of God. That's who assigns it. Come up here or start pointing and say, okay, you have the gift of mercy. Now get busy. You have the gift of Generosity. Okay, write out a check right now. $1 million for a building. You know, I can't assign giftings for you. Only God can assign. The Spirit of God assigns and shows you what your gifting is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is, we know that as, who knows what the name of that chapter? What chapter? The love chapter. It clearly shows us that any of all these gifts will profit us little unless we are motivated by the love of God. That's got to be your motivation in all of it. Now, Charles Finley once said that believers are as guilty for not being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, as sinners are for not repenting. That's kind of strange. But then he said, they are even more guilty, even more so, for they have so much more light. That's why they're so much more guilty. If you have the light of God in you, the light of Messiah that dwells within you, and you're not doing anything with it, if you're just a seat warmer, and you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, then you definitely are guilty. Aren't you? You're guilty of not doing what God wants you to do. Not fulfilling the role and the purpose that God has for your life. And it's important that I again mention that the Spirit of God already indwells in every believer at the time of spiritual birth. When we ask the Messiah to take control of our lives, to regenerate us, to do something unique and to transform us, the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, comes into our life at that very moment. Okay? However, we're admonished by Rashaul, the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 5:18 to keep on being filled with the Spirit. You have to keep on filling. Why? Because we leak, don't we? We leak. And if we don't keep getting filled up, we're going to end up empty. And then we're no good for anybody. We got to keep on being filled. That is a continual surrendering of our lives to the Lord. Continually. So therefore, if a believer, if we're not seeking to be continually filled, we're being disobedient to the Word of God. We really are. And we're missing out on all the fullness that God has for our lives. All the good things that we could have in our lives, we're missing out on because we're disobedient to God. Be certain that God has the power to fill us to overflowing. He does. To fill us to overflowing and keep overflowing the very minute, the very moment that we invite Him to do so. When we say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Ruach, with the breath of the living God. Just continue to fill me, Lord, and fill me and fill me. He will do it. He'll do it in your life. Though I believe that the Lord is far more eager to give us His love and forgiveness and power and victory over sin than we are to receive them. He's far more eager to fill us with the Ruach HaKodesh, the very Spirit and the breath of the living God, than we're willing to accept it. Maybe we don't feel worthy sometimes. Maybe we don't know how to receive. I agree with that. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Amen. So what is it? What is the Ruach or Spirit-filled life? What is it? And that Spirit-filled life is a Messiah-filled and centered life. You have to be filled with the Messiah, with the Spirit of God, and your life has to be centered around that. You can't just be a believer on Saturday morning, or if you go to a church on Sunday morning. That can't be the only day that you're a believer. And the rest of the week, you're in sin. All right? You think God honors that? You think God is pleased with a life like that? Do you think God considers you a believer? I don't think so. It's got to be filled and centered 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up and we're not going to blow it. I mean, I've done it, blown it so many times this week. I mean, we all have, haven't we? Yeah? The believer filled with the Ruach is one who, according to Romans 6:11, has considered himself dead to sin, but alive for God by union with the Messiah, Yeshua. You're dead to sin. That's where you are confronted with sin, and you're able to turn from it, repeatedly turn away from it when confronted. And believe me, the devil's going to come to you every single day and try to get you and try to entice you into some sin area. That's his job to do it, and you have to say no. What's we just saying, Bob? Devil, devil, stand aside. You have no power. You're finished. That's got what we have to be believing, that he's finished. He thinks he's going to win, but I know what it says in the end of the scriptures in the book of Revelation, that he's defeated and that he's thrown into the fires of hell for thousands and thousands for eternity to be tormented. Thank you, Lord. A life like this means that the Messiah is now on the throne of our life. He is Lord. He is Adonai. In order to be filled with that Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, we must be dead to ourselves. And when we're dead to ourselves, the Lord, who now has unhindered control of our life, can begin to express his love and his power through us, because we're now an open and willing vessel for him. The believer gives up his life, his impotence, and defeat for the power and victory of Yeshua the Messiah. And that's what the great missionary statesman Hudson Taylor referred to as that exchange life. We're going to exchange our sin and our impotence, our defeat, for God's victory and power and glory. I think that is a good deal. I mean, I've seen some good deals out there. And you can ask my wife, boy, I'm good at finding good deals when I'm trying to find something to buy. We need this and that. I find really good deals. But you can't find a better deal than that, that he'll take all of our sin and all of our sickness and all our weakness and all of all those defeats and all that and give us his power and his victory and his glory and all those wonderful things. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord does not want us to work for him. He wants us to let him do his work through us. Through us. Thank you, Lord. And that's the glorious experience that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, knew when he said in Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified with the Messiah, and I no longer live, but the Messiah now lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Galatians 2:20, that's a scripture you should know by heart. That's the first scripture when I was a new believer that I learned by heart. Galatians 2:20. Our bodies, our minds, our wills become his. Our time and our talents are now completely his. So, why are there so few believers that are filled with the Ruach, filled with God's breath, God's Spirit? And I think basically the problem is our will. It's our will. We are a free moral agent, and we're created by God with a mind and will of our own. And at the time of spiritual birth, our will at that moment is temporarily yielded to the will of God. And in Romans 10:9, the Apostle Paul tells us, if you acknowledge publicly with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. That's another important scripture that you need to know by heart. We must be willing to repent, turning from our own way in order to go God's way before we become a child of God. However, you know, I mentioned at that moment of spiritual birth, you're temporarily yielded your spirit is yielded and you're able to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and give your life over to Him. However, later on, the heart frequently loses its first love. You begin to lose that love and that radiance. I remember when I first was a believer, how excited I was. I mean, once I really got the understanding and grasp of what this whole thing meant, I was excited and I shared a lot and I was, you know, happy and all those things. It was obvious. But as we go on, you know, we start talking ourselves out of these things and no longer believing these things. And the glow and the love and the radiance begins to disappear. And we no longer walk in the light as He Himself is the light, as it says in John, 1 John 1:7. And then it turns out then we no longer seek to do the will of God. And we choose to go our own way and do our own thing. And then instead of being servants of God, we end up being servants of sin and end up saying what Rav Shaul said in Romans 7:19-20, "For I don't do the good that I want. Instead, the evil that I don't want is what I do. But if I am doing what the real me doesn't want, it's no longer the real me doing it, but the sin that's housed within me." And he goes on to say, and I think we all need to be saying this, "What a miserable creature am I?" We need to be real. You need to be real and acknowledge that you are a miserable creature because you mess up and you disappoint God and you do things that you thought you would never do. You end up doing these things. Who will rescue me from this body bound for death? The only one who can rescue you is the Messiah. You know, there's no one more miserable than a believer out of fellowship with the Messiah, Yeshua. You become miserable, angry, hateful. When this happens, there's no longer the joy, no desire anymore to witness, no concern for the lost. What are then the reasons that someone who's experienced this love and this forgiveness that only the Messiah can bring, one who's experienced the joy of His presence, would reject the will of God and choose to go his own way? Why would a believer sacrifice the power and the dynamic of the Spirit-filled life in order to have his own way and do his own thing? Well, there's a number of reasons, and I'm going to cover three of them today. Number one, lack of the knowledge of the words of God. Lack of the knowledge of God's Word. You know, God's Word contains wonderful and glorious truths concerning our relationship with the Messiah Yeshua and God the Father and of that Spirit. And this lack of information has kept many of us from appropriating the fullness of the Spirit. And as we study and understand God's Word, we see that He desires and is waiting to empower us with the Ruach and bring us into full maturity. So we have to understand what God's Word says about these things. Read it, study it, allow it to become part of your life. And once you understand these things, then you'll have a greater understanding of what God wants to do in your life. But you need to understand the Word of God. Number two, the pride of man. Pride has kept many believers from being filled with that Ruach, the very breath and Spirit of God. Pride was the sin of Hasatan, the evil one. We see that in Isaiah chapter 4. Verses 12 through 14. Pride was the first sin of man as Adam and Chava, Eve, wanted to do something or wanted to be something that they were not. Pride is at the root of most of man's self-imposed estrangement and separation from God. The self-centered, egocentric believer cannot have fellowship with God. For it's written in 1 Peter 5:5, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Are you full of pride? Number three, fear of man. This fear keeps many believers from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Don't fear man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways you are to acknowledge him, so that he may direct your ways. One of the greatest tragedies of our day is the general practice among believers of conforming to the conduct and standards of a non-believing society. And that's what we're doing. We're conforming to the world around us instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind and being different from the way the world is, standing out as a light and as a beacon. We're too quick to transform to the world around us. Many of us are afraid to be different. What will people think? What will the people I work with think? What will my friends think? What will my family think? They'll think I'm crazy. They think I'm a lunatic. They think I'm mad. You know, maybe you need to go see a doctor. Maybe there's something wrong with you. Ashamed to be witnesses for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, the king's kohanim, the king's priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for God to possess. Why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Yeshua said in Luke 9:26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Many believers are fearful of being thought fanatical by their fellow believers. I want you to be fanatical. I want you to be excited. I want you to jump up and down. I want you to shout. I want you to dance. I want you to be hot for the kingdom of God. You know what Yeshua said? You know, you're neither hot or cold. You're lukewarm. I spit you out. You need to be hot for the kingdom of God, excited about the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid of what other people think, what other believers think. We're going to continue number four next week, but I want to leave you with this. Again, the words of D.L. Moody to think about until next week. He said, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, that the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of your heart. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray, Lord, that you would empty us, O God. Lord, there is so much bad in us. So much things that we have filled ourselves up with. So many things of this world, Lord, from the TV shows and the movies we watch, the things we listen to, the music. So many things, Father, that we fill ourselves, the cursing, the foul language, that we speak, Lord. There's so many things that we do, Lord, that we need to be emptied up out of. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Yeshua that you would empty us, O God. Empty us of everything of this world that's not pleasing to you, that's impure, that's ungodly, that's unholy. Empty us, O God, so that we might be filled to overflowing with the very Ruach Elohim, the very spirit and breath of the living God. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid of man, but only fear God. Help us, Lord, not to be prideful, O Lord, knowing that all that we have comes from you, O Lord. And help us, Lord, to learn your words, O God, understand them, and grow through them. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Let me just share a couple things. One is, next week, we have musical artist Michelle Gold and her husband Joe. They're going to be here. She is wonderfully gifted and anointed.